Hey, what's up, man? We are to episode 29 of the Cross Debt Podcast. We made it another week. We have yet to fire ourselves.
Performance plans may be coming.
Yeah, that's right.
I just don't know who administers them. So our longevity may be greater than most people would think, and that would be fair.
I mean, I didn't put you on a PIP at the beginning of the year. So
you got to wait a whole year. Damn it. Climbing, baby. Yeah.
Well, you gotta cut the bottom 10%. So next year it's either you or me by yourself or something.
We better get some guests on this show so we at least have options, you know, in the year ahead.
That's funny. All right. Today's topic is what happens if you're dealing with a customer's process debt.
You mean all of our customers don't have their act together?
Oh man. Do you remember being in your 20s and just thinking, man, all of those big businesses, they just must have their act together.
How else could they be such big businesses? Look at how successful. Look at their buildings. And everybody wears a three-piece suit and they have three martini lunches. I was bought in, Chris. I really wanted the three martini lunches and the corporate jet when I was in my 20s.
I couldn't believe I mean, I got fired a couple times in my 20s because I couldn't handle the lack of efficiency.
Oh, yeah. No. When I realized that the guys that got those corporate jets were just people that were completely oblivious and they just demanded everyone around them figure it out. I'm like, I guess I could be that asshole or I could fix stuff. And contrary to popular belief, it turned out that I pursued the fix-it stuff. But
well, there you go.
You know, like that's it. All right. I have a bicycle. I don't need a corporate jet. But talking about, give me some examples that come to mind. I love this thought about sometimes we have our act together, at least in a narrow space that we're serving customers. You know, when you say customers, that can also be this huge range of stakeholders. And so,
I mean,
where's your head at when you say customer? Maybe
your customer could be as simple as your boss.
Yeah.
Right. It could be a lot more complicated than, you know, your B2B business sale.
Yeah, right.
But it's hard because sometimes you just have to deal with the customers always right. even when they're not, right? Like, and that, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, is the customer always right? You're like, do they even know what they want? I mean, they know what they want after you show it to them. And then they'll think that they helped you create it. But like, that's not how this works.
Well, and how many times have we heard that, right? Henry Ford said, if I'd asked customers, they would have told me they wanted a faster horse.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, 100%. Steve Jobs says people are stupid. So I made cool shit they wouldn't have dreamed of on their own. That's not a precise quote, but there's something akin to that. No, it's true. Like, I think customers tell us their pain.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that they're always ready to participate in the solution.
Yeah.
You know, so
I'm shocked that like, we don't know what we want until we find it. It's almost like things are not obvious, right? So, and this is with customers, right? Like things are not obvious until it becomes obvious. Like with this Gen AI stuff, it's like, well, we're going to make $1 million. And then you fast forward 9 months and you're like, OpenAI is doing okay and Microsoft's doing fine, but like, where's the money?
That's right. Well, I think the money is going to come out of licensing our own DNA and medical records back to us.
Well, there you go.
I'm eager to see what company that spins out of. Is that going to be hole in the ground or Neuralink or I don't even know. Maybe Elon Ilonsky has a new venture where I can license back my own saliva.
Yeah, he's gonna launch Body X.
Don't love the body you're in. Love the body you want.
What's Body X? He's gonna have Body X by OpenAI because he does all these like financial like nuancy. You're like, oh, that's brilliant. It's the financial shell game that he's playing. Anyway, process debt with clients.
Incidentally, I have to say, quick sidebar. Have you watched Dark Mirror? I think it's on Netflix.
I have not watched Dark Mirror.
And so, to listeners everywhere, it is disturbing the way the world could turn in just a couple short decisions. And so it's what happens if you throw another 3 to 5 years into one of these strange technology revolutions. And so everything from somebody was explaining an eye surgery to me recently where a lens transplant was done, but then they were kind of able to like zoom it in and adjust it for perfect 20/20 vision. Now, here's the shitty part, Chris. I don't remember who told me. I think that sounds awesome, but now I don't remember who to go ask. So, listener, if that was you, please text me. Anyway, yeah, it's weird though, because I feel like we still have a lot of things that have always been true, trying to interact with people, try to serve those around us, try to be a team player when others aren't quite ready for us to be on the team.
Yeah.
Then we also have like so much technology getting spewed at everybody.
Yeah.
And it's not in the annals of wacky tech magazines or Scientific Americana anymore. It's hitting, you know, everybody's Facebook feed, those of us over 40. And it's showing up in television advertising. So when our parents are talking AI, it's a different world all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, like back to the, like, just the customers having deficiencies, right, in their process. I think it's interesting if you think about AI, right? Like that's the thing that CEOs are buying, right? If we don't need people.
Yeah.
And yet oftentimes we need a people to understand what the person is asking. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny, right? Like our customer, right? Like, let's just assume it's our customer and they want something, right?
Yeah.
And how often is it like that that the salesperson directs them in the direction they want and or need to go, but they don't really, they're stuck on that one thing, right?
Yeah.
And then the salesman's able to just walk them through, and then it's all of a sudden they just let go. And I think we run into situations like that a lot where the people that we're dealing with, you know, on a Friday are going to want something. And based on all of our expertise and everything that we know, we're going to assume that they want and or need something. And that may or may not be what they need.
I love that call up, Chris, that idea of positional power. And sometimes it's the hierarchy. Sometimes it's simply, I'm obligated to perform a service for you. But I think about taking somebody to a nicer restaurant where they're like, I only eat what people serve me, so I don't know how to order.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, they'd say, well, how would you like your steak? And I remember the first time I was asked that, you know, I was probably a teen, late teen, with family, friends or something. And I'm like, I want it cooked. You know, I don't understand your question. And so in today's world, the thing I more often hear at restaurants is, how would you like it? The chef recommends medium rare, right? Yeah. And that little bit of priming that waiter's doing is at least indicating the kinds of answers they're looking for.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you don't have a sense of the right answer, then you can say, well, of course I'm going to have it however the chef.
Yeah.
So I think there's something super interesting about, is the customer always right? And when you said that a moment ago, it made me think, this is why we have to stay curious.
Yeah.
Because the customer may not, they're giving us the best language they have.
Sure.
They're trying to communicate effectively. Sometimes they've misdiagnosed their need.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I think we talked about that last week or the week before. Like, you know, we feel the symptom, but we're missing the source of the pain.
Yeah.
Well, so how do you, this doesn't need to be tell all, we'll get to that in your autobiography, but, you know, thinking about a recent customer that you've had, you know, how did you feel about that interaction? Did you just try to like, you asked for a Big Mac and I gave you a Big Mac, even though you're a vegetarian, or did you kind of hold some space for curiosity to try to invite some clarification?
I find when I can hold space, I'm generally at my best.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's like, I realize that this is an immediate, this is very urgent or whatever. And I will get to it at this point, and this is why. And that has always been helpful. And I'm not always that good at that. The other thing that I realized,
human. Wait, that's right.
No, yeah, yeah.
Not an AI.
Yeah. The other thing that I realized is sometimes my C minus work is someone else's A plus work.
Yeah.
And so I think I've learned this year, which is I would always rush towards perfecting whatever I was delivering. And then I would get so offended when I got corrections on a PowerPoint or a delivery or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And over this year, I've let go of some of that perfection, which has been very helpful when I've received feedback, because one, it makes it better. I include oftentimes, you know, this is a manager type person. Like I include that manager person and they actually get to assist and help me grow as a person. Right. And so when I was aiming for perfection, oftentimes I would just be so wound up around the axle about like, well, they don't understand how hard I worked on this. And so if I took it back, you know, from, you know, 110% down to like 85.
Yeah.
I was less stressed to deliver and I knew that it had room to improve and it was super helpful.
Yeah. Chris, I love that. I wish I could remember who the genius was. It was about the time that I started consulting. I could have even been into a consulting engagement or two, but the request was, we were doing some strategy and starting just to organize some of the pillars.
Yeah.
And the request was, just give it a very basic first cut, but then I want you to take it around and socialize it.
Yeah.
And it's not that we hadn't had a really clear conversation, but the idea of leaving it pretty raw and kind of in this draft form, taking it out to stakeholders or to my customer to say, here's kind of the direction I think I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gave them an opportunity to go, oh, now you've given me something more to respond
sure.
to. Didn't have. Your picture doesn't match what was in my head.
Yeah.
And it does create this safe space. I remember, you know, this was probably on the heels of a very bespoke PowerPoint where I'd invested, like you just said, so many hours. And they're like, that's not what I wanted. I wanted an Excel sheet. You know, and you're like, oh, hell. And so it is, there's something really powerful about early drafts and involving people, you know, process dead, the language barriers, you know, all experience.
Well, you figure out where your communication drops, right? Like, and I think that's maybe the topic that we're hitting on is like when you're dealing with customers, it's often, or even relationships, it's the communication breakdown. That's where the process breaks down.
I love that, Chris.
Because you hear something, you run off, you know, you're like, oh my God, you know, heaven forbid this happens with our spouses or significant others where it's like, you said this, you're like, I was doing this. And then it becomes a circular crazy cycle where it's just it's the process of the communication breakdown that, the spouse, they know those trigger points.
Yeah, they do.
It's pretty impressive.
That's a legitimate thing. And I think, we hear the term work spouse, you know, we usually think about that in a gender context, but people we work with closely also come to understand like your response is not correlated with the exchange here. Yep. Something's out of sync.
Yep.
And so I love that you name this as a communication breakdown. So oftentimes it has nothing to do with their day-to-day process. That might be on absolute rails.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hits it perfectly, but these gaps in our communication, the gaps in understanding are certainly a process, right?
Yep.
And the more we can do to bridge it, the healthier everybody is.
Well, and heaven forbid a salesperson sells something that's just a little out of range.
Imagine if you will.
Yeah. In a world where everything works perfect and Gen AI solves all of your problems.
Yeah.
Can I check now?
Right. Take all my money.
That's funny.
Oh, wait. It doesn't do dishes. It doesn't change the sheets. It doesn't do toilets. Maybe Gen AI is not perfect yet.
No, it's not. It's getting there. It's not bad.
Chris, this is a great episode. We've got 15 seconds. Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up and come in under the 15 minute?
No, just fix something today. Make your life better. Give yourself some space.
I love it.
our man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. See you next week. Yeah.